Where are you at the moment?
Welcome to the Insulite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour with Robin Nielsen, our Chief Wellness Officer. It's our meeting place to connect, motivate, and learn, where we empower women with PCOS to transform their lives through these powerful interviews with some of the world's leading experts on PCOS.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, this is Robin Nielsen, and welcome to Inspiration Hour. We're really excited to be here with you today. You know, Inspiration Hour is just such a special place. It's where we, you know, get to, I don't know, get out of our own head and kind of get out of our own way and hear others, you know, hear from others who struggle just like we did, but, you know, sort of figured out a way to overcome some of the challenges that, you know, we run into when we're trying to heal our health, right? Whether it's PCOS or any, you know, symptoms of dis-ease that we're coming into contact with, you know, can be a super frustrating journey, right? The word fine that we hear from our doctors oftentimes frustrates us to no end because maybe our lab test results don't show disease yet, but we don't feel fine. And my guest today is a super great example of that. And so we get to hear from Noura Mashtel. I hope that I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. We get to hear about, did I do it right?
Yeah.
All right. We get to hear about her crazy journey. So before I tell you a little bit more about her and introduce Noura, I just wanted to go over a couple of administrative details. We have our PCOS adrenal cleanse that just started today, and it's not too late for you to join in. If you really are ready to get your energy back and kind of jumpstart your metabolism, so that's what this adrenal cleanse is all about. It's about kind of resetting our circadian rhythm, getting our bodies back in sync. You know, we have clocks all throughout our bodies, and the adrenal glands are, you know, one of our, it's really our second main clock. And so really getting that back into sync and just feeling a whole lot better in about 14 days. So be sure to join in if that's something that you're interested in. And we've moved Inspiration Hour to the first Thursday of every month at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, so we look forward to you joining in. So I want to tell you a little bit about Noura and then welcome her to share her story with us. So since a young age, she observed, she says, with much frustration that her body did not metabolize food like other people. Boy, can I relate to that. But I don't think that I knew that at a young age. Wheaties was not my breakfast for champions. More like a recipe to go back to sleep. Yep, that was me for sure. Endocrinologists brought medical books into my appointments, and doctors who knew of testing didn't share with me because of my insurance coverage. Well, how sad is that, huh? After self-diagnosing, I realized I've had PCOS my whole life, and the relief I feel every day taking the Insulite Health products goes beyond words. Well, yeah, we're looking forward to sort of hearing about your, you know, your discovery of this. Because I think that's one of the hardest things is, number one, sort of figuring out what's going on with you. That's huge. And then once you do that, you know, back when I was struggling so much, there was no internet, so I couldn't, you know, look things up like we can now. So thank goodness for the internet. At least you can type in some symptoms and, you know, some ideas will pop up. So that's a big help. But, you know, how did you go about sort of navigating your way? And then you say that your self-esteem is heightened. You recognize your value in the world. You've found your voice. That's so awesome. And most importantly, after being told that you that you need, I guess, fertility treatments, you became pregnant naturally. Wow, that's pretty amazing. So we can't wait to hear your story. Welcome, Noura. Are you with us?
Sorry, I put you on mute just as an extra added.
Oh,
I apologize.
Great. Okay.
Sorry, I was saying, I apologize for that delay. I was saying that this was, you know, figuring out, you know, about mainstream treatment of PCOS versus using the Insulet Health really was like a new life. It really was, because mainstream medicine, in my experience, just did not make me feel normal again. It didn't make me feel normal again. My body was still having to process, you know, like prescription medication. And, I mean, we already know how much, you know, how important it is to get the toxins out, you know, with this condition. So, you know, and I really think that that's just key. And I think that it's more of a struggle at the beginning for some people than for others. But it's all about where you start, and the goal is the goal. So, you know, turning life into where it needs to be to feel good again is worth it.
Yeah, I'll say. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, a lot of us are here to share that story. Well, let's start at the very beginning. So we want to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, the victorious. We want to hear it all. But at the very beginning, we want to hear more about you. Where are you from? About where do you live now? What are you up to in your personal life, just so that we can get a sense of who you are?
Oh, sure. So I live in Atlanta currently, and I've been here for the most part for the last 22 years of my life. But I've been in Georgia since I was like 12, going on 13. So quite a long time. I'm 43 now. I moved away a couple of times just for short periods and came back. But Atlanta has been my home for a long time, and I'm currently specifically in Decatur here because they have really great schools, and my son he's 9, he's in the 3rd grade, so that's where we are currently. And at the moment, I have been dedicated to a lot of volunteer work in the community, so I've been working more so part-time and still looking for something else that's kind of in my niche to take up more time. But that's mainly what I'm doing at the moment. We've just started a new organization here for special education, and I'm the vice president of the PTA. It's a special education PTA. So that's been kind of my passionate cause for my son, advocating for him and his needs, and also helping the community to be able to advocate for their kids as well, and show some solidarity for, you know, bringing up education levels.
Yeah. So. Oh, that sounds so worthwhile. Wow.
It's been very rewarding so far. I've been really excited. We've been doing it for a little over a year now.
Yeah. Oh, so. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you are one busy gal. And what kind of work do you do? So I realize that's a huge job right there, but you said that you work part-time and you're looking for something more permanent, or what is your field of expertise?
So I'm a pilot. It's been, because I started my training and going into that field before my son was born, it really, my whole mindset changed a lot as far as using aviation as a profession and actually flying, because it's so rigorous. And I decided to use it as a bigger goal for a vision that I have for social justice, and really be able to work in my specialty, possibly with aviation in the law. So I'm aiming to go to law school either next year or the year after that.
Wow, that's so cool. So you're a pilot. We just want to focus on the pilot part for a second.
Yeah, it was cool.
So what kind of aviation were you a commercial pilot? Did you do private? What did you do?
I was working on my commercial, and I decided to focus on my degree because it was very, very challenging, demanding both financially and time-wise to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And so I decided that it was more worthwhile to finish my degree. Yeah, I mean, it was much easier before having to, you know, make sure that, you know, priorities for parenting are in play as well. And it requires deep pockets and, you know, complete dedication, and that was a bit tough to handle for both. So, you know, I definitely have a lot. I have about 350 flight hours, and I have, you know, a lot of knowledge under my belt about the industry. I have a degree in aeronautics. So all of those things, again, I wouldn't have been able to concentrate it even on being able to do any of this if I hadn't had the products, the supplements to, you know, really balance out my life, because that was really probably the height of my health was like 3 years ago. I'm kind of a little under that right now, but life is an ebb and flow. So.
Yes, it is. And that's a beautiful way to say it. I like that a lot.
I mean, you know, we have to just embrace where we are and, you know, hope for the best tomorrow. You know.
Oh, gosh. Well, hope is not a strategy, but yeah, just maybe relief,
no,
right? Just life is an ebb and
well,
flow, and,
you know,
and relief is what we can't
just
control.
Just not
and...
beating ourselves up, exactly. Not beating ourselves
yes.
up, not necessarily.
Yes.
You know, just knowing that, you know, there's always another chance to get it right. You know.
That's so beautiful. You have a lot of good catchphrases. We'll have to use you for some marketing. right in line with our messaging. Always, there's always a second chance. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, we have the honor of actually interviewing Neuro on Inspiration Hour with Angie Rohal, our beautiful co-director of customer service, and Lindsay Chandler, who is our food director now, and it was Neuro. And then, Robin, Angie, help me with Robin's last name.
Ashcraft.
Oh, yeah, Robin Ashcraft, who was a director of customer service here with us as well for a while. And we had four rock stars on that call, and I want to say it was about 2 years ago. And so
yeah,
Neuro has just amazing energy and great insights, as you can tell. She just, you know, really gets it. And I have to say, you know, it's really our whole community is so powerful. We're a bunch of powerful women. And, you know, we know how to survive, and we are getting much better at thriving.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we're getting a picture of you now. You like to be in charge of things, and you have some great ideas as to what you want to see in your community, which is awesome. So let's go back a long ways, because you said since a young age, you know, you observed mm-hmm. some things about yourself. So tell mm-hmm. us kind of when you started noticing that, you know, it kind of starts with not feeling well. Like, when did you start noticing that?
Well, I think I always had the gluten thing. Was always probably in play, always that I can remember, because my father's Middle Eastern background, and so, you know, we ate a lot of rice, and it definitely, you know, I always had a little thickness in my middle, and then mm-hmm. once puberty started kicking in, like, I would, like, my blood sugar would just, like, completely just drop, you know, and basically, like, when you observe other people, you see, like, people that have diabetes or whatever, they're always telling them to eat, like, you know, something, some candy or something like that to level their blood sugar back out. So I was like, well, that's the only thing I knew to do was that. And so I would eat, like, you know, a candy bar, which, I mean, obviously now that's, like, probably the most horrible thing I could have chosen to do, but... The diet concepts, you know, in the 80s and even, you know, going into the 90s were just so not on point with understanding the body, you know, about how horrible sugar is. So,
you know,
there was a lot of yo-yo weight gain and loss over, you know, like almost a 20-year period. Not quite, but I'm saying, like, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, for all of us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So when you say that you always had a gluten problem, like that, and so gluten, blood sugar, what were some signs and symptoms that you were having a blood sugar problem?
I mean, I was just like so lightheaded and just, you know, I knew you can tell when, you know, you're like, okay, well, I haven't eaten. But other people can be hungry and not, like, you know, be ready to faint, you know. It was just like, it was just
right.
like, it just seemed like it was plummeting. And just, you know, not recognizing, you know, I'm like, I'm not eating any different than anybody else. Why am I having all these issues with, you know, like my weight and, you know, all these things? I'm like, you know. And then the energy, of course, started coming into play as well. energy levels and, you know, not being able to act out what it is that you want to do because of just literally not having access to your glucose, just not having access to, you know, the insulin that needs to, you know, give you that drive. It just wasn't there. I could tell. And, you know, of course, there's all different things that you try. I didn't really start getting into, like, food, though, until my late 20s. And that's when I read Self magazine, and I saw about unexplained causes of weight gain.
Oh, so interesting.
That was there. Yeah, and it was listed in there. That was in, like, 2001 or 2002, and it was one of the things in there. That was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And, yeah, so, I mean, I had that. I had the acne. I had the facial hair, the excess body hair, the yo-yo weight, the blood sugar issues. When I self-diagnosed and went to the doctor, the ultrasound showed the cysts on my ovaries. It looked like Saturn lighting up. That's really, it just had like a ring around. It looked like Saturn. And, but I mean, you know, whether you have cysts or you don't have cysts, you know, some people don't have that symptom, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have PCOS. But for me, I guess, you know, you would call it classic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really, it's frustrating to see, like, either distant family members or people that, you know, other women that you know are going through similar and wanting to help. Some people will take help and some people won't.
Right. Well, it's hard because, yeah, we've struggled so much and we want to, you know, shorten their learning curve. We want to help them. We want them not to struggle. And you can just see women walking on the street. It's like, oh, they need help, right? They need my support.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing you can say or do because it's not, you know, unless people ask for your help, it's not really our place.
Yeah.
For sure. So you had a lot of the classic symptoms for sure. And that is the thing. Like for me, I didn't know that, you know, not having a bowel movement every day was a problem. Like, I don't think I felt good about it, but I didn't know that that was not normal. You know, I didn't know that teenagers don't have to suffer from acne. And then, of course, in my 20s and 30s, I was still suffering from acne. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, that was like a huge motivator. How do I stop this? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of when we get super motivated that we start, you know, really digging in. And until then, we kind of limp along, you know, with these icky symptoms until we're just, we just can't stand it anymore, I guess. So you read this article in Self Magazine, which kind of gave you an aha moment in your later 20s. And then what?
So then when I went to the doctor and I got the ultrasound, for whatever reason, the doctor mentioned the medication to me but didn't actually, like, initially prescribe it, which was odd. But anyway, we got that squared away. Like, a little while later, I went to a different doctor in the same practice. And so I started taking the Glucophage. The I guess that was before they had the time release one. And or maybe it was right before that. I don't know. But so I started taking that, and like I asked my doctor, you know, I'm like, how many times a day can I take this? She was like, really, as many times as you eat. I was like, okay. But I mean, it really didn't agree with me. It was my bowels weren't right. It caused me to have like some nerve issues. And when I started reading the fine print, I was on it for a couple of years. I started reading the fine print of the prescription. I think I've said this before, like even recently, and it's just, it's scary to read what will happen long term for a medication that's meant to be short term, but it's being given to me because I have a long term issue.
Right. Okay. So that is such a good point that I don't want to gloss over. Medications are really meant for short term use. Right.
Yeah.
It was posted in our VIP empowered community about one of our members posted about, you know, using Nexium, you know, which is an antacid medication or a proton pump inhibitor, right? That will really damage your health long term. Really damage your health, right? Because it blocks the production of stomach acid. And our stomach acid is there to break down our proteins, and proteins are the building blocks to everything in our bodies. And our stomach acid is our first line of defense for our immune system. It kills things, right, that come in. So if we ingest, you know, bacteria or viruses or anything that comes in through our food, that stomach acid is there to kill it. So if you're constantly, like, taking Tums or that blue pill, right, Nexium or Prilosec or anything like that, you are really damaging your health. And you are masking a symptom that's telling you that something is wrong. And here's the really weird part. I'm getting off on a tangent. But when you take an antacid because of acid reflux or GERD or whatever the problem is, it's usually because you have low stomach acid, which is really, you know, a funny juxtaposition.
Exactly.
So Nora brings up a super good point that medications are meant for short term, and we end up, if the doctor really has no tools other than to say, just stay on this, right?
Well, that's the thing, is that it's an exception for a specialist or, you know, to say, okay, this is absolutely something that we have to make sure that you don't stay on more than a few months or, you know, when it comes to the digestive tract, for sure.
Right.
Because
so
it should,
what I want to know
should
is...
just... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I just want to know why you took the glucophage. What were the motivations from the physician and yourself to manage blood sugar better? Were you trying to lose weight? Were you trying to do all the above? What was it for?
Right, exactly. I was doing it to lose weight and to manage my blood sugar so that I could, you know, have some semblance of, you know, energy and, you know, I was also taking birth control. So I was, you know, regulating my period that way, but I was having the irregular periods as well too. Not like as extreme as some people, but it was enough to where I could feel the pressure like building up in my system. And I'm like, I just wanted to just come, you know, I mean, it was,
right,
you know, maybe 2 or 3 months. I was like, you know, varying somewhere in there. It wasn't like as drastic as I know some people have suffered, but then the birth control, it was very tough to find one that didn't make me like jump in weight as well too. So that's another issue. But I did get on the lowest one. I was on the very lowest, and then they bumped me up to the next one. So the
and
lowest.
And so tell us about birth control pills. So why did you get on birth control pills? And when
mainly because of my period. I was on them for about 10 years.
Okay.
And that was mainly to regulate my period. And once I got on the very low dose, it was fine as far as, like, my symptoms were concerned versus the ones that had higher estrogen levels. But the ones like Yaz and those that were supposed to help clear up skin, it did completely the opposite on me. So that wasn't helpful at all. But, yeah, that, you know, even the birth control, I mean, you know, people obviously want to use it for birth control as well, too, but as far as the PCOS is concerned, I think in the 20s, if you're still trying to figure it out, it's not like, you know, a horrible thing. But again, I wouldn't stay on it past my 30s just because of all the other health ramifications involved, you know, in your 30s, and it becomes so much more sensitive.
There are so many reasons not to do the birth control pill. In fact, there are all reasons not to do it and none to do it. We had a very special VIP call about birth control pills, and I will have something posted on our website if it's not already.
Okay, good.
We might have a whole thing about birth control pills. You would not believe some of the weird things that birth control pills do. Like, for instance, if you're on the birth control pill, you might pick the wrong mate. Because women, it changes your sense of smell, and women pick men based on their smell. Like, you don't know this, but you pick a mate based on how attractive their smell is to you. And then when you go off the birth control pill, you know, it's not unusual for women to say, who in the heck did I marry? Or, you know, why did I choose him? Or, I mean, it's really unbelievable, crazy stuff like that. And
wow.
You know, it's a chemical, and it doesn't regulate your cycle. Like, you may think that you're having a regular period, but the way it works is it suppresses ovulation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe you bleed regularly, but you don't ovulate, right? It's not doing anything good for you. There's nothing good about the birth control pill unless you just say, if I don't take that, I'm going to have an unwanted pregnancy, right? And there's so many other amazing things you can do to prevent pregnancy. And for managing PCOS, it's a huge trade-off. There's so many other amazing things you can do, like just increasing progesterone would, you know, solve so many problems. So it's a great topic.
Wow.
You know, because we just don't know about it. I mean, who knew,
right?
Who knew all these things?
Yeah, that makes so much sense, though.
Yeah. So anyway, don't get me on that birth control pill soapbox, because it's a like Pandora's box for me. Okay, so how did you decide to get off birth control pills? Like, what did you discover? And how did they help you? I mean, you felt like they regulated your cycle, but aside from that, why did you decide to get off them?
So I had, I was talking to my doctor about my insurance changing and the birth control pills that I had been on for the majority of that time, were going off the market for that insurance. Well, they were going to be out of network for my insurance. And so my doctor suggested to me, she was like, why don't you see how your body reacts without the birth control pills? You're single right now. You're not seeing anybody, you know, just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that sounds like a great idea. I mean, you know, I'm tired of taking this pill every day anyway. So it makes sense to, you know, see if my body can withstand its own regulation. And so I did. I've had a regular period ever since then.
Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing.
Yeah. That was 11 years ago.
Okay. And I just want to tell everyone, if you're listening in and you have any questions for either Nora or myself, please type them in our live chat. And you can also, if you're only on the phone, you can press *2 and we'll get to you in just a little bit more towards the end of the program. So Nora, give us sort of, you went to the doctor, you got glucophage, you took that for a couple of years, you were taking birth control pills, you were trying to regulate your blood sugar so that you just had more energy and felt better, you were trying to lose some weight and sort of stop the yo-yo thing with your weight. Then what was next for you in your health journey?
Right. So then when I started doing all this reading about the glucophage, I was like, I'm going to take a leap of faith and get off of this. And I started researching, you know, I started paying attention more to my food. I'm like, I know this is something that I just have to stop compromising altogether anyway. And then I actually decided to Google one day in the process of all of that and found the program.
So when you say the program, that's the PCOS 5-element program?
Right. Exactly.
So you were doing your research, you're like, you know, how do I get off glucophage? You figured that out, and then you were looking for another solution. You found. Do you remember how long ago this was?
Right. This was in 2007, and I think I may have Googled how to naturally treat PCOS or something like that. You know, I wanted it to be natural, and I'm like, you know, obviously mainstream medicine knows nothing else. They've told me everything that they supposedly know, and I found the program, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got to try this, and, So, yeah, I mean, I definitely felt a transformation with my energy levels as soon as, I would say easily within 2 weeks myself, because I really, like, fully committed to the diet plan and, you know, taking all the pills. And then little known to me, I had actually started seeing someone, and I conceived probably right in 1 month from when I started taking the pills. So, I mean, I'd had plenty of people tell me before that that I would have to probably take fertility in order to ever get pregnant, which I'm sure pretty much every woman that's here can, you know, attest to. And that was very disheartening. So to know that, you know, I'm validated as a woman made a huge difference.
Yeah.
That was truly,
yeah.
truly so a recovering it was, experience.
So it was disheartening being told that you would have to do fertility treatments.
Right, or just that it was just up in the air whether or not I would ever, like, be able to have my own child, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, there's no guarantees, you know. So
nope.
Definitely was enthralled to do that. And I think I had kind of been gearing towards wanting to be in motherhood anyway. I think that was why this became so important to me, to figure
yeah,
out what was happening.
Yeah. Well, evidently it was meant to be for whatever reason.
Exactly.
And you
exactly.
you just jumped in with both feet and followed the whole program immediately and had some tremendous results very quickly, which you probably didn't anticipate.
I was
but
all
good.
So surprised, yes, so surprised at how much it really did change everything.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
So you've been part of our community for a super long time, and so, like, what, we're going to get to your three things at the end, like your tips, but I would just love for you to maybe share, like, what do you think were some of the biggest struggles with, you know, starting the PCOS Insulite five-element system? Like, what are the struggles that you not only encountered but that you see in our community? And, you know, how do you think, like, what is a good perspective to take? And, you know, what worked for you what did you tell yourself, and how did you become so successful so quickly?
Well, I think that it was really about the fact that I really was so ready to feel better. I just was like, I am just desperate at this point to really feel like, you know, to feel like my body can actually function. You know, constantly compensating is so draining.
It's so draining. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and, I mean, I feel like the majority of my life I have done that. And, I mean, on the days that I do, you know, fall behind and start feeling that again, that's my motivation to pick right back up again because mm-hmm. I don't want to fall into that again. It's definitely something I want to leave in the past. And I think that it's all about that, though. I think it's just about making a decision. Life is a series of making decisions, and this is a big one for anybody that's got these symptoms to, you know, protect our health for the future as well, too. Because, I mean, going untreated, there's, like, the ramifications are magnified just like, you know, just like the smaller things are magnified now, the bigger things become magnified later. So it's just it's a win-win. I mean, I think the exercise was the biggest thing for me. It's still the biggest thing for me. I have to get, you know, a rhythm going, and, you know, that's been kind of a stop and start for me. I haven't done as much as I would like to in that area for longer periods of time, but I'm working on that little by little every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, adding little things in, and I'm like, okay, this will get my motivation back up. I'd love to do spin classes. I was doing a HIIT class for a little while. Those have been really fun. Mountain climbing, like, you know, hiking. That's really, I love doing that, which I know you do too.
Yeah, I love to hike.
So the fresh air is.
Well, it's the concept of forest bathing. So, you know, when you hike in trees, you get this amazing benefit of forest bathing, so you get all those crazy good chemicals that come from the forest
mm-hmm.
that are really unlike
mm-hmm.
anything else. And then, you know, when you're at the beach, you get the negative ions. So just being in nature is tremendously healing, and it's it has the right hormonal impact. Like the HIIT classes, probably not so much. Like that's not very sustainable, but definitely hiking is super sustainable. And what I found, even doing more intense hiking, I don't do rock climbing, but you know, just kind of a long hike day, carrying a backpack and, you know, climbing like 3,500 feet elevation a day, you know, which is doable. And it's, you know, if you take, you know, 7 hours to do it, it's not bad at all. What I found is that even though it's hard, it's not stressful. I find that I really have very little appetite when I'm doing that sort of thing. But then if you go do some intense exercise, you're so stressed out that you get really hungry. Like your body gets really stressed and then you get hungry and then you overeat. Right? It's when cortisol is too high that we overeat. So it was hysterical because I was going on this 4-day backpack trip with a group, and I'd never, you know, it was a small group, and I told them that I didn't want them to fix my food because, you know, it was all inclusive. I said, I'm going to bring my own stuff, my own backpack, my own sleeping bag, and my own food, all my own stuff. And everybody else who was in the group, there were 4 other people, they, you know, they were provided backpacks, so the guide brought their food, all that. And it was so funny because I packed these bags of trail mix for myself, and I made my own, you know, nuts and seeds, and it was funny because my husband kept walking by going, you know, as I'm laying my stuff out to pack, these are really heavy. Are you sure that you need this much?
I think I remember you sending out an email about this trip.
Yes. Well, this was actually a different one. This was back in 2011, where we hiked Capstone in Yosemite and did some cool things. I have since year before last, or maybe it was last year. Yeah, we went on a really cool trip too. But I was, you know, smarter then about packing, so I ended up only taking one smaller Ziploc bag of trail mix, just, you know, hoping that would be enough. And then I had beef sticks, you know, and I had my other things. Mm-hmm. And turns out I was like trying to give away. I would serve my trail mix for hors d'oeuvres before dinner to the other hikers because I just wasn't that hungry. You know, hiking is, it takes a lot of energy, interestingly enough, but it doesn't raise cortisol. You know, so it's being smart about your exercise and noticing that response that you have. Like, for instance, if I go play a tennis match, that's a completely different response. That's a stressful response. I crave food that doesn't support me. So I have supplements that I take. Phosphatidylserine is, you know, fantastic for helping to manage cortisol when you're doing something stressful like that. So you can take 150 milligrams. We have a PS150 on our web store. That's great for stuff like that. I still want to play tennis, but I have to, you know, I have to supplement around it. I have to take extra magnesium. I have to take PS150, or I can really easily spiral into feeling crappy. You know, so just be smart about your exercise. You know, Nora, you bring up just some great, great points about that. And, hiking is a good one.
I was going to say, I used to go running short distances at the beach too, and that was definitely helpful.
Did that feel good for you?
Oh, yeah. That's where I was at my optimal health, weight too, actually. That's why I was like, that makes so much sense. I'm like sitting here writing notes what you were saying because it was absolutely that effect for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so just, and even barefoot, you know, it grounds you. Not only grounds you, but it exfoliates your feet. So my husband and I will take our dogs and we'll go for, you know, like a 2-mile hike down the beach and back. It's, you know, we try to do it once a week. It is the most special time. I mean, who doesn't walk by the ocean and feel fabulous? I mean, just looking at the expanse of the ocean, it's so healing. It's, you know, I don't know, somehow it just permeates ourselves. And same thing if you hike in the forest, right? It's forest bathing. Mm-hmm. You get the same response. So very, very nice. Okay, well, is there anything else that you would like to share before we get to your 3 tips? About your journey and about maybe some of the comments you've seen in our VIP group. And
well, I know it's been tough for people to manage at the very beginning, and I get that it's a huge adjustment, and you know, no judgment, of course, because you know I had to adjust as well too, and I get it. I just say just keep the faith and just keep plugging in, because once it builds up in your mm-hmm. system, even if it takes a little bit longer because you're trying to figure it all out, you know, once it builds up in your system, you're going to see a real difference, and it's going to feel organic. Like, it's not necessarily going to, like, tap you on your shoulder and say, hey, I'm here now. It's going to basically be like, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. Just it's going to become yeah. a new complete part of, you know, who you are, so.
Yeah, so consistency, you know, just getting exactly. in, you had mentioned the word rhythm earlier, just getting into a rhythm, being consistent. That's mm-hmm. the big, you know, one of the biggest tips for even, you know, weight loss or, you know, reducing acne. It's just being consistent, and that's probably one of the toughest things for us to do, especially when we're changing habits. And but what's really cool is that if you just do it a little bit at a time, like Nora said, make it organic, but keep it going. So if you just make one change tomorrow, which is, you know, you drink more water, right, keep it going. So mm-hmm. say, you know, for a week, I'm going to just drink more water every day, and that's going to be my big focus. Then keep it going, right, and then add something else in the next week. Something small. I'm going to walk 3 days this week, 10,000 steps. You can start with 5,000 steps. If you walk an extra 10 minutes, you add another 1,000 steps, right? Super easy mm-hmm. to do. And you'd be amazed at how fantastic you start feeling if you just make these small changes. And small changes are really, that's our 5% solution, are really the only way to go about lasting change. That's why diets don't work. Right, you go on a diet, it's like a temporary thing. You release right. the weight that you want to release, and now all of a sudden you're not on a diet anymore, and guess what? You know, you gain the weight right back, and somehow it's a mystery. We're like, oh my gosh, I lost all this weight, and now I've gained it all back again, and now I've got to do it all over again. It's because it's not a, you know, 3 month thing, it's a lifestyle, right? It's the way that we, you know, I don't just say, oh gosh, I'm not going to do my gluten-free thing anymore because I just don't feel like it today, right? I'm going to go buy some bread and make myself a big old sandwich. I never say that. And that's because right. I will feel terrible. Like, it'll take mm-hmm. me over a week to feel better. I can give you an example. One of my best friends, it was really cute. I was over at her house. She has four daughters. They're all in college now. I can't believe it. And she said to me, she said, Rob, she goes, what can I do to lose weight? She and I both struggled with weight in high school. So now, you know, fast forward, she's got four girls. They're, you know, they range in age from like 5 to 10, I guess. And she had twins in there. And I said, well, you can stop eating bread. Because I knew that she liked pasta and bread. And, you know, what girl doesn't like mm-hmm. bread, for heaven's sake? And I said, well, you can stop eating wheat. And she said, oh, she goes, I can do anything but that. And I said, okay, well, that's my advice, you know. So a year later, guess what question she asked me? Rob, what can I do to lose weight? I said, well, I'm going to give you the same answer that I gave you a year ago. Stop mm-hmm. eating wheat. She said, oh, yep. All right, I'm going to try it. You know, we have to get to that point where we're really desperate and motivated. You know, for some of us, it's sooner. For some of us, it's later. And so mm-hmm. she stopped eating wheat. And, oh, my gosh, I saw her a short time after that. She goes, oh, my gosh, it was like a miracle. She said, not only was I able to lose weight, she looked fantastic. She said, I got my energy back. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow. So then I saw her maybe a year later, and she said, oh, my gosh. She said, I've had, like, the worst energy slump ever. And I said, really? What's going on? She said, well, I didn't know. She said, but then, she said, I served my girls bread every night for dinner, and I started eating it again. She said, once I realized that, I stopped, and within a day, I had my energy back. Like, that's how powerful food can be. Food is powerful. And, Nuri, you had said, you know, when you ate Wheaties or whatever for breakfast, you know, you had to go take a nap. That's how it was for me. I had, like, this constant brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so where are your three tips now? So what three tips, three pieces of advice would you like to give women who are just starting out or who may need to, you know, have a jump start or a quick start or in a slump or, you know, what do you think would really help them?
So, you know, as far as the diet is concerned, I mean, you know, it really is key to just get rid of the wheat, just forget it. I mean, there are so many other supplements out there that you can eat that are low carb. I actually just ordered this this food for the first time. It's called No Foods, like K-N-O-W, and they have breads and wraps and all of these that are made from almond flour, coconut, chia seeds, and flax seeds, and that's an egg whites. And it's like four carbs.
Cool.
And those are amazing for sandwiches, for, you know, like snacks. They have these cookies. I mean, it's so, and very, very low in sugar and super lowest on the glycemic. So those are, I mean, there's some great alternatives out there. Pinterest has so many sources for that. So it doesn't necessarily make you feel like you're deprived. That's been key for me to find something that's just, that still lets me have some semblance of feeling like I'm eating something hearty, you know, without the carbs being involved.
So your number one is it's key to get rid of wheat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Key.
Okay.
Wheat was what took away the yo-yo weight effect as well, too. I was able to hone in on a smaller weight range. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing I was going to say is just meditating and using affirmations every day. One of the biggest life-changing experience I had was when I took Wayne Dyer's advice, and he said, have affirmations for 5 minutes before you go to sleep. It's the most important 5 minutes of your day because it sets your subconscious on a track for at least the next 4 hours of your sleep cycle. This was very, very powerful to me. There's so many affirmations on YouTube now that you can just kick into, you know, put on headphones before you go to sleep and listen to it. It really makes such a difference with the day. It rolled into the day with no doubts. No doubts are sitting on you and just taking that weight off of you to be able to focus on the present. It really makes a huge difference. Even if you don't get to meditate throughout the rest of the day, if you still stick to that at night, that one change makes just all the difference. So that's my second, as far as like just the mental, to keep the stress levels down and, you know, be able to carry out what you need to carry out and feel productive. And I'm trying to think what the third one, because we've covered so much information.
Well, just what's something that really helped you? So you said key to get rid of wheat and gluten. Number two, meditation and using affirmations every day to help keep stress levels down.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I mean, the other thing that was really, really helpful for me is making sure that I got the omega-3s in through the chia seeds. That has been huge for my life. I highly recommend buying milled chia seeds and eating 2 tablespoons at least every single day. They don't have any taste. You can put them in anything. And the omega-3 levels being heightened, you know, above ratio-wise to the omega-6s and omega-9s is the key to making sure you're not going to have health conditions going, you know, later into life, making sure that your gut is clean. And so you literally don't even have gas when you take chia seeds twice, take the 2 tablespoons a day. There's no gas involved in your digestion. That you're going to be passing. And it has so many other health benefits.
Yeah. So chia seeds are high in fiber, and 2 tablespoons a day is a great amount. It gives you a really good amount of fiber, right? Even in addition to your glucose. because you need more fiber. Chia seeds, omega-3s from vegetable sources, actually, it's pretty hard to increase your omega-3 levels that way. It doesn't always metabolize down the anti-inflammatory pathway, only because you need to make sure you have ample levels of zinc to make that conversion. But they're fantastic. I mean, there is a possibility that you'll raise your omega-3 levels, and it's fabulous fiber. And I love the fact, I mean, so many of us have digestive problems, and I love mm-hmm. how you framed it in that it can really help with gas, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are people that, Annette, that had allergies before they started eating the chia seeds, and after they started taking the chia seeds, the allergies had been gone. It could have been that there was just something literally stuck in their intestinal path that was causing them to react,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to flush it out. Yeah.
Yeah, well, fiber is critical. Oh, my gosh. We'll have a whole program on fiber. It's so critical for so many things. And
sure.
you know, speaking of the cleanse program, right, we use fiber to help bind the toxins and remove them. If you don't have fiber, you can't do that. And that's mm-hmm. sometimes our hormonal imbalances come because we don't have enough fiber. So, you know, our liver has to metabolize used hormones. And if you don't have fiber to bind to those hormones to get them out once they've been metabolized by your liver, you will reabsorb them and they'll be more toxic the second time around. So you can have hormonal imbalances, well, for a gazillion reasons, just because of not enough fiber and too many toxins in your liver. So pretty amazing. All right, so Nura's three tips. Key is to get rid of wheat and gluten. That's number one. Number two, meditation and using affirmations, and affirmations especially right before bed can be really, really helpful because your mind can work on them while you're sleeping. Helps to keep stress levels down. It really, really does. Angie, can you share about how you recently restarted meditation, how it's helped you so much with your stress levels? Don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'd love to get your feedback on that.
Sure, absolutely. I've actually just started adding meditation into my daily practice because I've been having trouble sleeping, and I just sort of wake up in the middle of the night, or I wake up with anxiety first thing in the morning. So I love Nura's tip about the affirmations 5 minutes before bed. I do say them before bed, but not right before bed, so I'll definitely try that. But meditating just, I don't know, like I noticed that I'm like, oh, the sun is shining, or, oh, look how pretty the trees are. Like, I'm noticing
mm-hmm.
just the little pretty things in life that I just blew past before because I was so focused on crossing things off my to-do list. And just it just puts me in the present moment, and it just
mm-hmm.
little things that would bother me before just don't seem to bother me as much. And I'm just kind of like, you know, relaxed and not as willing also to take on other people's stress and their anxiety, and how you're like around someone and their energy isn't quite, you know, in a positive way, and it's kind of negative, and you know they're going through a rough time, and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that, and like you take it on. I've been noticing that I am more resilient to that kind of energy and just feeling a lot fresher. It's kind of like, you know, like instead of taking a nap during the day, it's always better to meditate because it just kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know, just kind of puts that pep back in your step and just makes you like so serene and so just calm. And it's really great. I'm really enjoying it. And I think it's balancing my hormones too, because I just feel relaxed a lot more often than what I did, mm-hmm. when I do anxious now.
Of course. So anytime, you know, you lower cortisol, you are balancing your hormones. Yeah. And that's something that we're doing in the cleanse program for sure, is we're adding meditation in every morning. So how you start your day in the morning is how the rest of your day will go. So that's why the morning time is so important to eat right and to, you know, get that meditation in. Even if it's just for a minute, it can make such a huge difference. And then Nura's number three is making sure that you get, really get your chia seeds in, 2 tablespoons a day. She just found it really helped with digestion and gas and just feeling so much better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So are there any questions? I don't see any questions. I just wanted to see if there are any questions that anybody has for Nora. Pretty quiet out there. All right. Well, gosh, Nora, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's always such a pleasure. You have so many great insights, and you're definitely a, you know, kind of a root cause warrior trying to figure this out and, you know, do some biohacking, right? You've been doing some biohacking.
I really appreciate you having this conversation with me, and I hope, you know, that you know, hopefully something helps somebody.
That's the whole point, right?
Push through. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, great. Well, thank you for being here, and wishing you the best on law school. That'll be quite an exciting adventure.
Yes.
And you'll have to keep us posted on that journey. Yeah. And thanks to everyone who joined in today. We're so grateful for you, and just congratulations for showing up, right? That's the first step. All right, everyone, have a great rest of your day, and keep in touch. Bye now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Intellite Health PCOS Inspiration Hour. Mark your calendar now for Inspiration Hour next month. Don't miss it.